This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Sheikh Waleed Habassouni, a scholar and imam, a leader of da'wah in North America, and on his time off, an avid scuba diver. Sheikh Waleed Habassouni spent years studying at the feet of some of the most renowned scholars of our time, including the former Grand Mufti of Saudi Arabia. He pursued his passion for the study of theology all the way to the doctorate level before bringing his years of study to the West. Sheikh Waleed serves as a member of the American Muslim Jurist Association and the president of Al-Maghrib Institute, having been one of the Institute's most experienced and dedicated instructors teaching the essentials of belief and daily life in Al-Maghrib chapters across every continent. He's not only one of our senior most scholars, deeply dedicated to his students, but a leading figure of the da'wah in the West.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu ba'd. First of all, I would like to thank you all for sticking around with us all the way until the end. You guys hear, that's a victory. You know, you just achieve by spending a whole day learning and being with your brothers and sisters and being with us, and it's a great honor for us. Also, I would like to give a special thank for those who donated today, who contributed to Al Maghrib. One of our dreams, actually, is to see in Houston a center and a place of learning and where a studio is fully equipped, ready to take Al Maghrib to another level of serving Islamic education in the United States, in the West, and around the world. And this has been a dream for a long time for all of us. And one of us who passed away maybe will not witness that dream today, but he will, inshallah, in the Day of Judgment. And I want to say that today it made me so happy. Among the crowd, somebody came and he said, "Sheikh, I'm committed on behalf of myself and who I represent $100,000 for this cause." Allahu Akbar.
Takbir! Takbir! Takbir!
So that will make us very close to what we have and anticipated our mind to be able to launch this. But I have a request. We're not there yet. I ask you, if you did not know, we are raising funds to establish a center and a studio fully equipped to be the base for recording all Al-Maghrib materials from now and future, inshallah ta'ala. It's a great opportunity for a sadaqah jariyah for you. If you have not contributed, if you did, if you can do more, please make sure that you do so before leaving. And thank you very much for those who have donated. May Allah bless what you have given and bless what you have left. What's so funny, one of my daughters said, "Baba, jazakallah khair for inspiring me. I was able to donate, but I use your credit card." So, that was nice. When victory will come. What's victory? What we're witnessing today made a lot of people ask this question. Mata Nasrullah? When the victories of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come. And after hearing all these lectures, I'm sure you formulate some answer to this question. So my talk hopefully will put things in perspective and give you a big picture for this big concept, the concept of a nasr, victory. You know, first of all, asking when the victory of Allah will come, when Allah will grant us victory. We're making dua, we're making qunut, we're making prayer for victory, but we don't see it happening, Sheikh. When this will take place? This question has two sides for it. Can comes from a heart that filled of doubts, and a heart that questioning Allah, doubting Allah. A heart that raising this question to raise doubts in the mind and the heart of others. And that question was asked before by the hypocrites during the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam time. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. That's deceiving. It's not true. There is no victory.
But also this question came from hearts filled with faith, iman. Came from true believers who asked this question, a legitimate question. When is the victory? Not because they're doubting the victory, but they're looking forward to witness it, to celebrate it. They're looking forward to know what is needed for me to do to make sure that I witness it, to make sure it will take place. So if that was the reason for your question, you are joining those believers. And among them, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, He said, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِن قَبْلِكُمْ. Do you think you will be admitted into paradise without being tested like those before you? مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ. They were tested, they were afflicted with suffering and diversity and hardship, and were so widely shaking that even the messengers and the believers with him cried out, when will Allah's help come? When Allah's victory will come? Indeed, Allah's help and victory is always near. Ala inna nasrallahi qareeb. Al-Bukhari reported that that Khabbab ibn al-Arad came to the Prophet ﷺ while he's in al-Kaaba, in Mecca. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, why didn't you pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he grant us victory right now? In the beginning of Islam, Muslims were tortured so badly in Mecca. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, the people before you, they were tortured. One of them will be cut into two halves. One of them will be skinned alive and will not leave the truth that he believed in. By the one, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the one who's my soul's in his hand, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he swear by Allah. This religion will achieve victory, will prevail, and it will bring safety with it to the extent that people will travel a long distance in Arabia without fearing anyone except, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they maybe worry about the wild animals in the desert to attack their cattle. That's it. That basically question, as you heard, came from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, also in the verse that I recited earlier, in relation to Aziz Suddi and others, in relation to the incident of Ghazwat al-Ahzab, when they were tested so hard to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Remember when they came at you from east and west, when your eyes were basically wandering a while in her, and your hearts jumped into your throats, and you basically وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, and all these conflicting thoughts about Allah come to your mind, then at there the believer were put to the test, a great deal of test, and were violently shaken. That's how much they were tested. Let me share with you some facts for whatever minutes I have with you tonight about the concept of victory. Number one, victory is from Allah. Victory is a qadr, is something that Allah decreed upon people. He grants whomever victory, and he takes it away from whoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ الْعَزِيزِ الْحَكِيمِ. And victory comes only from Allah. Then he described himself with two great names, two great qualities, that he is Al-Aziz, the most powerful. He can grant it to whomever he wants. He granted whatever form he wants because he's so powerful. Aziz يعني قوي. Hakim, wise. He granted it in the right time, in the right people, for the right circumstances, for the right reasons. So that's something to keep in mind. And many verses in the Quran like that. Wallahu yu'ayyidu bi nasrihi man yasha. But Allah supports with his victory whoever he wills. Surely, in this is a lesson for the people of insight. والله يؤيد بنصره من يشاء إن في ذلك لعبرة لأولي الأبصار.
Even when people attain victory, Allah reminded them that the victory that you attain is not because how smart you are, because how powerful you are. No, first and foremost, because of Allah.
وَلَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ بِبَدْرٍ لَقَدْ نَصَرَكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي مَوَاطِنَ كَثِيرًا.
Allah have granted you victory in many times, in many places. In one of them, in another verse in Ali Imran, in Badr.
إِن يَنصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَهُ.
Also, another fact. If we understand that, that means we always seek that from Allah. We always pray to Him to grant us victory in every form and shape, in every steps and every challenges and every battle in our life. And also, when we don't have the victory, we know that Allah did not grant it for us for a reason, for a wisdom. That something make us think and start analyzing and reflecting. And that's the outcome of that point. The second point, that the victory of Allah, it comes in a very different forms. And unfortunately, a lot of time we only think about victory in a very materialistic way. And just as equal to the word war. You know, with victory in war or being dominating and in control of country and land. That one form of victory, yes, that's the clearest form of it. But also there is other form of victories that you have to be aware and mindful of. You know, so sometimes also victory comes to one group. But not the whole entire ummah. For instance, in our history, while the Muslims losing their lands and homes and Andalus, they were prevailing and excelling in the East, in India and in Turkey and in East Europe. And there was very different pictures here and there. You know, so sometimes victory can be granted in one area, but not in every area. You know, while, and this is very interesting thing to keep in mind. It is not fair also to think about victory at only sometimes given certain amount, a certain time, but it will be taken away from the ummah in certain time. That's not fair to judge the Muslim ummah and to judge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to talk about Allah granting the Muslim ummah victory or not based on the 20, 30, 50 years that you are witnessing today. No, the Muslim ummah through history have been granted victory and in the future will be granted victory. Remember when Harun al-Rashid used to look at the sky and look at the cloud and he said, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter where the rain will fall. Whatever land it will fall, it belongs to the Muslims. That's how vast his how kingdom is. The land that he control. You know, the Mughal Empire in India, at one time, they ruled from the India. India in itself is a continent. From the south of India all the way to Georgia, and Russia, and to Siberia, and to Iraq, this is all under one king. Can you imagine how massive that is? That's something unbelievable. And also in the future, the Prophet ﷺ said, لَيَبْلُغَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرُ مَا بَلَغَ اللَّيْلُ وَالنَّهَارِ. رواه الإمام أحمد رحمه الله في مسنده that the Nabi ﷺ said, this religion will reach what day and nights reach. What daylights reach and nights reach. Every corner on the earth. Also, something interesting about form of victory. Victory sometimes, as I said, can comes in a form of very materialistic way that you win the war, you defeat the enemy, you take over the place, and you be in charge of the land. But also, victory can comes in a form of that you hold into your principles, that you hold into the truth. Even if I am defeated from outside, I'm still victorious from inside. That's why Allah said about the believers in the day of Uhud that they وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمْ الْأَعْلَوْنَ. Don't feel sad, don't feel defeated, don't feel down because you are higher, even though they lost the battle. You might be knocked out from out, you're knocked from outside, but I'm victorious from inside. I'm still standing tall inside. You know? And we heard the story of the people of the trench and how Allah called them attain al-fawz al-kabir, a great winning, even though they were killed, all of them. They did not win the battle. Hiram ibn Milhan, his nephew Anas, Hiram yakun khal Anas radiallahu an. Anas radiallahu an said when Hiram was stabbed, he was betrayed, but there is a story behind it. But anyway, in that story, they betrayed him and 70 of the best of the Prophet ﷺ companion. And when Hiram was stabbed, and the blood started gushing from his chest, and he looked at the blood covering his hand, he put the blood in his face, and he said, "Fistu wa Rabbil Ka'bah, Fistu wa Rabbil, I won, I won, I won." What did he win? He just lost his life.
I'll tell you what he, how he won. After he died, he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he met Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, and the hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. He said, Ya Rabbana, abligh nabiyyana, annana qad wajadna ma wa'attana. Ya Allah, tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have seen and witnessed what you promised us. And Allah sent Jibreel to tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about the story. Then the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us about what happened. That's how did we how we know about it. That's a great winning. And we heard Sheikh Sulaiman talk about that earlier. You know, sometimes you as an individual lose, but the community will, the society will. And the story of the boy with the related to the story of the people with the trench. You remember the boy that who the king was trying to kill, and every time tried to kill him, he was not able to kill him. If you don't know the story, I advise you to read the reason behind the story of the people of the trench. In Sahih Muslim, it comes in detail. But in the end of the story, the boy said to the king, if you want to kill me, the only way to kill me is to say in the name of the Lord of that boy, Allah, and shoot the arrow and you will kill me. Yes, that boy died, himself lost. But what happened? The whole entire ummah became Muslim. His whole entire village accepted Islam. Sometimes you might not, the winning is not about you. It's something bigger than you. Also, sometimes victory comes in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted this ummah victory, that they always have the ability, they are victorious when it comes to the hujjah, al-hujjah wal-bayan. They're victorious in the sense that the truth will be always remembered, will be always recognized. No matter how much the falsehood tried to polish itself, people will recognize that it is falsehood. And the truth will prevail. That's why Imam Ahmad rahimahullah was not victorious in the sense he was a judge. Actually, the chief judge and the head of the fuqaha and all the scholars were against Imam Ahmad rahimahullah. And they were telling the king, kill him. Can Ahmad ibn Abi Du'ad, the chief judge, the head of the Supreme Court in the Muslim Ummah, in the Khilafah time, in the Abbasi, and who's the Khalifa? Al-Mu'tasim, the one who's known for his zeal and protection of the Muslim Ummah. That Mu'tasim can yaqul, ishtut qata Allahu yadayk idrib. He used to torture Imam Ahmad personally. And the chief judge said, uqtilhu wadamuhu fi unuqi yawm al-qiyamah. I'm charged. I will claim his blood on the day of judgment. That Imam Ahmad did not was victorious in that sense. But guess what? When he debated them, they couldn't answer him. Ibn Taymiyyah has story, many things like that. That's why also, sometimes victory comes in a form of when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the ugliness of the falsehood. And what happened in Gaza, one of the things that shows us the ugly face, the hypocrisy of the world. You can't polish that, you know, that government in Israel anymore. Nobody can give it any benefit of the doubt. It became so clear to everybody, and so clear that certain people will never ever change their opinion. They're not coming from a position of, you know, common sense or anything like that. No, they're just coming from hate. That's became so clear. You know, that there's so many things about human rights and democracy and freedom and expressions. And we see how these things fall so quickly. You know why? Because it was not based on the foundation of faith and iman. Sometimes victory comes in a form when giving opportunity for you to express the truth and to share the truth. And we heard Sheikh Siyasa Bardas talked about that when Allah called Al-Hudaybiyah, the Al-Hudaybiyah, as a great opening, Fath Mubina. Al-Hudaybiyah was a treaty. It's easy to win a war, but what's hard is to win a peace. It's easy to die for the sake of Allah, but what's really victory, the real victory, is when you live for the sake of Allah. And that's something that you should be aware of. When victory comes in a form that Allah opened the heart of the people, I will never forget that young man that I saw on YouTube was after he was captured by the Syrian government. And what the Syrian president, Bashar al-Assad, have done to the Syrian is no less
And I believe it's way worse than what the Israelis are doing to the people of Gaza today. If you just know what happened to them and what's happening to them until today. But anyway, this young man was asked about him being tortured inside the jail by the hand of this, you know, dictator's government in Syria. This young man said, hey, don't feel bad for me. I enter jail, and when I enter jail, I never prayed in my life. I never made sujood in my life. I was tortured, and I was beaten. They think I'm from the resistance. And they asked me to make sujood to the picture of the president, Bashar al-Assad, to make sujood to his picture. And I said, no way in hell I will do that. Why? Don't you say you're not religious? He said, yeah, I'm not going to make my first sajda for other than Allah. I never prayed in my life. I would never make my first sujood to some human being. And he said, since then, I never miss salah. Muhammad Yassin, one of my colleagues, he studied in Bosnia. He said, Sheikh, with all due respect, he said, in Sarajevo, in the Bosnia, before in Yugoslavia, before they separated, he said, Sheikh, if you want to live a decent life, a respected life, you will live among the Christians, not among the Muslims. They used to cook, the Muslim used to cook with alcohol. He said, you never find a single person in the masjid, a single young man in the masjid. He said, I lived there 40 years. I can tell you, and I think you never believe that it's a Muslim country. They used to watch me praying. What kind of person coming? What alien is this? But after the war, you don't have a spot in the masjid if you come 10 minutes before the adhan or the iqamah. The masjid is full with young people. That's a victory. When people come to deen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a victory. And so many times we don't see that as a victory. You know what a victory also comes in the shape of? Everyday battles against your own desires, against your shaitan. When you conquer yourself, you have conquered the worst of enemies, which is the enemy of the shaitan. That when you know that you win that. That means a lot more important than winning land. And I will end with this. Al-Bukhari reported Mu'allaq, the story of Anas radiallahu anhu, that Anas radiallahu anhu, every time when he's talk about the Fath Tastur, the conquered of Tastur, one of the most strategic cities in the war between Muslims and the Persian Empire. It's one of the biggest cities there. When Muslim conquered that, every time he remembered that day, Anas will cry. فَقَالُوا يَا أَنَسْ مَا يُبْكِيكَ هَذَا يَوْمُ النَّصَرَ اللَّهُ فِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Why you cry every time the Tastur story mentioned? Do you know why you cried? Anybody in the crowd knows? It's in Sahih Bukhari. He said, in that day, we fought the enemy all night until the Fajr came, and we did not have a chance to pray Fajr until the sunrise. We prayed Fajr after the sunrise. And I cry because that day we missed Fajr. That's something made Anas so upset. And because he was watching Netflix all night, socializing. Because they were doing it, fighting for Fisabilillah. Because he knows that this is so important to win that battle. A lot of people talk about big things, a big talk and age. And they can't even wake up for salah. My brothers and sisters, there's so much to be said. Hopefully I can mention one or two points, inshallah, in the last session when we have the panel discussion. But remember, victories has laws, has certain laws, certain causes that Allah have put, and some of these causes are universal, and Allah will not change it because of me or you. He changed it according to His wisdom. But there is a cause, there's a role, there's rules Allah's put in this earth. That's why Ibn Hazm, when he said Allah give victory to a not religious, non-religious government, non-religious state over a religious one, a non-religious one, someone don't believe Allah, over someone who believe Allah, if those one who are just and the other one are not. The so-called religious are not just with their people. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ. There is need to be قُوَّة وَقُدْوَة. In order for you to win,
You have to that power and to be a role model. This is a good civilization. And with a quick comparison between two great civilizations, Allah described them in a similar way in the Quran. And read that on you as a homework if you want. The story of Saba, the queen of Saba, Balqis, and the king of Sulaiman. All of them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَتَاهُم مِّن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Allah have given them from all kind of power. Both kingdoms have great power. كِلَاهُمَا عِنْدَهُمَا قُوَّةٍ. But Sulaiman have beside قوة قدوة. Sulaiman has iman and faith, and the other one has not. And the one with iman and faith, while they have the power, Allah have given them to prevail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us fiqh fi al-deen. May Allah give us a good understanding of our religion. And inshallah, I hope that you guys have benefited tonight. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of us our good deeds and forgive our shortcomings. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi.